I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Have you ever cheated death? And by that I mean there was a moment in your life where you thought you were going to die, but you didn't. Raise your hand, just curious. Who's cheated death? Look at all these wonderful cheaters. Yep. You know what God said to you on that day? Work's not done. Work's not done. Right? Well, 2 weeks ago, this is why you're getting this message. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't on vacation. 2 weeks ago last Wednesday, I went heart dead just for a little bit, according to the surgeon. Funny story. I had to have a second heart ablation. I had one 10 years ago where they guide a laser through a vein up into your heart. And then they stop a double heartbeat by cauterizing one of them. That's the trick, though. You just cauterize the one. And so I was told the second time out, it's going to be more dangerous. And I could come out with a pacemaker and whatever. But we got to do it because it was horrible living with it. It would do it whenever there was any amount of adrenaline, excitement, enthusiasm. And so you can imagine how many times it happened right here. I would be getting into a sermon, and then the room goes, whoo, and spins. And if you can ride that out for a second and a half, you're good. Then you just have going. And so over the past few months, if you ever saw me do a dramatic pause and grab this, I was riding it out. One Sunday, it did it through the whole sermon, and I got done. I went and sat down, and Noah leans over to me and says, "Man, I don't know what it is, but that's the best delivery I think you've ever heard." I said, "Well, hopefully it'll never happen again." Okay, well, so there I was on the table. They cauterized one, but both, well, everything that was beating stopped. I was told this later, of course, but you know, they had the not defibrillators. What do you call it? Pacemaker paddles. And the doctor told me after. He says, for about 3 seconds, we all held our breath. The crash cart was ready. It's like, come on. And it rebooted and started beating. Boom, boom. And yeah, I'm very happy about that. Very happy. And when he told me, there was absolutely zero emotion as far as like, oh no, I almost died, or panic, or nothing. My response was, and it's funny after the fact when I look back, but I said, I was just so concerned. Is that what it's actually called for real? Heart dead? And he said, yeah, that's what we call it. And I said, oh, that'll preach. And so you get the message today, because my flesh and my heart may fail. May. I don't know why they use the word may. I think it just means any time. But God is the strength of my heart, spiritually, right? The inside part that doesn't die. Because our God is a God who saves. Escape from death, but not from dying. Understand the difference, you know? Escape from death, but not from dying, is in the Lord God's hands. Because that's who catches you when you leave this side. It's in the Lord God's hands who gives power to overpower the grave and strength of heart to his people to face it, defy it, and defeat it together as one. You see, since the children, look at how this is worded. Since the children, that's us. Since the children have flesh and blood, i.e., let me interpret, an expiration date. That's what that means. Since you all have an expiration date, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. He shared in that expiration date so that, and this is a big so that. Wait, I love when God says, here's another reason I came. So that by his death, and of course, resurrection, he might destroy, him who holds the power of death. That's the fear of death. That's the power of death, the fear. And we know who holds it. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery to this fear. By, and here's where he explains it, by their fear of death. And he came to destroy that. Because those who fear the Lord are secure from the fear of death. Because fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain from which we all drink. It offers escape from the snares of death. You see, evil people are trapped by, you know, their own snares of sin. They're trapped by sin. But the righteous escape. Well, the righteous not only escape, they escape shouting for joy. Picture that. That's a picture of when you leave this side of the veil. And you realize you're escaping. Shouts with joy. So I guess let the wicked fall into their own snares if that's their choice. But let me escape from the snares of death, shouting for joy. For the wages of sin is death. That's all you can earn on your own. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. So I'm curious, anybody seen, raise your hand, anybody seen any document, because there's several, any documentaries on what is called the miracle of Air Transat Flight 236? Oh good, fresh crowd. Okay, because this story is amazing. In 2001, an Airbus left Toronto with 306 people on board, and it developed a major fuel leak that was undetected. And in the middle of the night, in the middle of the flight, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the engines ran out of gas. As did the electrical generator, with no battery backup. Imagine you're sitting in that plane, suddenly everything goes dark and silent. You know, I got a picture with some lights just so you could picture it, but pitch black, silent. You're sitting in this plane, 33,000 feet up in the air. And there they were, just sitting there, listening to the soft whistle of wind against the wings, while facing the certain death of a catastrophic landing in the mid-Atlantic. Imagine being the pilot. Everything's off. Sadly, this is a great analogy for our life down here. Because that's us. That is us, people. We all know that one day, as we're casually flying through our temporary stay, your trip's going to come to a very abrupt end. We all know that. We're all in the same boat. And it's strange, I thought, that they call it crashing when someone's heart gives out. It's like those engines, you know, we had the crash cart in case you crashed. That's funny. I mean, not ha-ha funny, but weird funny. Interesting funny. Not funny at all. None of us, as I ponder the moment, none of us can hold back our spirit from departing on what I'm calling spirit air. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping that obligation, that dark battle. And in the face of death, what'll you do? Because that's really what your whole life is leading up to. What'll you do? Because wickedness will certainly not rescue those who practice it. I remember reading the horrifying testimony of a believer who survived the deadliest aviation accident in history. Back in 1977, it involved two 747s at the Tenerife Airport. Enough said. But But here's the thing. Well, while he was in that plane and he thought he was dying, as he cried out to the Lord, he was shocked, horrified to hear how many, as they faced their inevitable date with death along with him, were screaming profanities and using God's name literally in vain. And he said this will haunt him the rest of his life. Turned him into a great witness everywhere he goes. He wants to tell people about Jesus. It just haunts him. The sound of them screaming profanities in God's name. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But they didn't, because they couldn't help it. Because a good person, you're only as good as the goodness you store in your heart, and that only comes from the Word of God. A good person, out of the store of goodness in his heart, produces good when he needs it most. But an evil person, out of a store of evil, in that moment, produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. So please, whatever you do during your journey, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so that's what your mouth will speak. Oh my goodness, did you see who died three Sundays back? I'm not talking about me. Did you see who died three Sundays back? Harrison Tyler, the grandson of John Tyler, our 10th president. Now, how many of you remember three Sundays ago, were you here, and remember he was a sermon illustration that day? Okay, so we got to, the rest of you just trust them. Because it was just weird to see how somebody, remember I said, I'm not going to say why I said it, but at the time I said that Harrison could say, there's a man right now, I said, right now, who can say, my grandpa, my dad's dad, was born during George Washington's first year in office in 1790. And it was just such a strange thing. And here's the funny part. I had told Noah, it was a message I was going to do later in the summer. And I went to him that week and I said, you know what? I'm just doing this message this Sunday because I don't know how long we have with this guy. And so you talk about getting it in just under the wire. Several of you emailed me the next day. Did you see the news? The guy you talked about yesterday passed away. Well, then I wondered if what I'd said was or wasn't true at the time that I said it. But it was, because I looked it up. He passed away that Sunday evening. Weird, right? The timing, not the passing. That's not weird at all. Because as Ethan says in his psalm, O Lord God, almighty, powerful is your arm. Strong is your hand. Needs to be, you've got a lot of people to catch. Your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength, especially on the cross. And our power is just based on your favor. And then look, it's like he almost panics. Remember how short my life is. No one can live forever. All will die. No one can escape the power of the grave. Snap out of it, man. We got Psalm 68. Our God is a God who saves, says David. You see, the sovereign Lord rescues us from death. Picture that. When you die, he comes to rescue you. He rescues us from death. So sing to the one. This next part sounds like an ad for an airline. You know, so sing to the one who rides across the ancient heavens, his mighty voice thundering from the sky. And tell everyone about God's power. It may not look like much from this side of the ride while he's forced to hide to form our faith, but his strength is mighty in the heavens. Because the God of Israel gives power over the grave and strength to his people to face it, defy it, and defeat it together. Okay, so you see, while the passengers of Flight 236 sat in that dark silence, awaiting an open ocean crash landing, their pilot found some power. He was able to power just the critical instruments with a little wind generator. I mean, this was going old school. And he located a tiny island with a military base, with an emergency runway for the space shuttle that had never been used, that was one of the world's longest runways. But it was 70 miles away, not enough time, height. And yet, this is why it's called the miracle. Their captain managed to glide that jumbo jet for 20 minutes, a world record, and with no power, no flaps, no reverse thrusters. That thing hit that runway at 230 miles per hour, bounced once, blew out 12 tires, and ground some of those things down to their axles as it skidded safely to rest. Just about 100 feet short of the end of that huge runway. And everyone miraculously escaped certain death. I gotta wonder how many of those passengers had been praying hard, maybe something akin to Psalm 88. You know, oh Lord God of my salvation, let my prayer come before you, for my soul is full of troubles. My life draws near the grave, and I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will escape, just as the Lord has said. And these will be among the survivors. So we must listen very carefully to the truth that we've heard, or we may drift away from that truth. I mean, what makes us think that we can escape if we're just kind of indifferent to this great salvation that was announced by the Lord Jesus himself? I've never told you this story. Noah did years ago at the house during COVID, but I've never told you this story. I survived a near plane crash of my own. And by that, I mean, I literally almost crashed an airplane. When I was 20, I got a pilot's license and a perm. One was a good idea. After the story, you can guess. On a solo flight over the mountains of Oregon, I realized too late that the clouds below me were actually smoke from a huge forest fire, for as far as I could see in every direction. So I quickly turned back. Fuel is running low because I had planned on landing, but I couldn't find a way to land. And I turned on the switch through the channels and figured out, oh my goodness, this is a major forest fire. I'm not supposed to be here. So fuel's running low. I head back toward Washington because I know there's this little airport on the border. But the smoke had been blowing north. And as the gauge dropped below E, I'm watching this thing. Oh my gosh, there is still no clearing anywhere. And I know I got to be close to this airport, but there's no clearing. And so I did the only thing I could. I descended into a whiteout of smoke, not knowing if I was dropping into flames or about to crash into the side of a mountain. And I found myself doing this. It's like I'm bracing for impact. And I very much thought I was about to die. And I prayed a very simple prayer. Catch me. Catch me. I love you. Forgive me. Catch me. And then suddenly, I became quite calm. Still just a whiteout. Just I'm watching my altimeter. Come on, come on. I became calm because I knew he would catch me. And then suddenly I dropped below the smoke and just above the trees. And I found a power line. And I followed that power line to the Columbia River. And I followed the Columbia River to I-5. And then there's that little airport. And I landed and asked them to refuel it. Went inside. The man refueling it came in and said, "Did you glide that plane in?" And I said, "Just about, but no. Why?" And he says, "Because that's the first time I've ever put the fuel gauge rod into the tank, and it came out dry." Yeah, that's about right. I had buried that needle below E. But here's the question. If you know that you're going to end up in your own Flight 236. I mean, come on. You're already in your own Flight 236. And you have the option of choosing your pilot. One, you're going to just pick one at random? You're going to ignore your option altogether? I don't want to think about it. You're going to just, I'll try to land it on my own. We'll see what happens. Or the only thing that makes sense, you're going to opt for the one captain with a proven record of miraculously landing everyone safely. It's the only thing that makes sense because we all know that Christ being raised from the dead means he'll never die again, because he pretty much proved that death no longer has dominion over him. Who, as to his human nature, you know, flesh and blood expiration date, was a descendant of David. And who, though he had an expiration date, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. For it was fitting to make the captain of their salvation and our salvation perfect through sufferings. For we are all of one. For which reason, he's not ashamed to call us, to call them brethren. Ladies, you're part of the brethren, okay? We're the brethren. Saying, "Here am I, and the children whom God has given me." So let us be devoted to one another in this brotherly love. Which leads us to the third significant insight of Flight 236. Because once saved, the strangers who boarded that plane embraced and rejoiced like you would, wept, and then cared for each other with great affection. Ages, races, income brackets, it all flew out the window. Because facing certain death and then sharing a miraculous deliverance instantly transformed them into something far deeper than friends. They became instantly a family. By a sincere bond of brotherly and sisterly fellowship, and with one voice they praised their captain, because that's what you do, right? And happily, this is a great analogy for our love down here. Because when someone has a brush with death, everything is suddenly precious, especially people. So it stands to reason that we who share so great a salvation should express a special kind of survivor's family affection. And therefore, the captain of our salvation rightly expects his sincere followers to be a strong example, saying, "My children, love one another. As I have loved you, So you must love one another. Because here's the thing. By this, you know, the survivor's love, everyone will know that you are my disciples. That you don't fear death. You know, love one another. It's great in theory, but in practice, it's like the old poem says, to dwell above with saints in love, well, that will be our glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know, that's a different story. And you might be wondering, but okay, love. Do you have to like someone in order to love them? No, of course not. You don't. Not at all. You don't. But don't kid yourself. Jesus is not talking about a disconnected type of religious politeness that offers only the surface mechanics of his love. Our love must come from a survivor's heart. And it must be sincere, because we know that we have passed from death to life. How do we know? Because we love our brothers, whom we otherwise probably wouldn't. And in fact, anyone who does not love like someone who's passed from death to life obviously remains in death. You see, when Flight 236 came to a stop, the crew, think about this, the crew got all 306 people out of that plane in 90 seconds. Because fires broke out from the friction, right? The only injuries, and there were quite a few, because they're just throwing people out those chutes, because they had to. The only injuries on Flight 236 were from exiting. But absolutely no one among the survivors who had just escaped the clutches of death and knew it said anything like, well, that wasn't very courteous. How rude. I've never been treated. I can't believe. No one who had been among the dead, but then suddenly were among the survivors, said anything like, hey, see the gal over there, the one with the bleeding leg? Her shoes totally clash with her blouse. Nothing like that. Strange, huh? Because those are not the thoughts of those who've been rescued from death and given a new lease on life and know it. It doesn't mean we don't see those faults and flaws and fashion faux pas. It just means we choose to look past them, way past them, to Him. Because of how little nothing it means in the great scheme of things. Because as He said, I am the living one. I am the living one who died. And look, I am alive forever and ever. And this is your captain speaking. I hold the keys of death and the grave. Two different things. First one spiritual, second one physical. And my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And thus they shall never perish. Because picture yourself on that day. On that day you step out of this side into the other side. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Because no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And P.S. I and the Father are the living one. So happy Father's Day. He goes on to say, Oh, death, I will be your plagues. Oh, grave, I will be your destruction. This is our God. This is our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Because in this world, oh, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome. Therefore, my heart is more than glad. My tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure from the fear of death. Because you will not abandon me to the grave. For you yourself, Lord, have made known to me the path of life. And you will fill me with joy in your presence. So let's wrap it up. Here we are, just like those guys on old flight 236. Here we are on a flight we didn't schedule, heading toward a destination we can't avoid. The engines sputter, the skies darken. But you and I, we don't fly in fear. We fly in faith. Because we know we've chosen the one captain who conquered death. So we best listen to him and love just like him on this bumpy old ride down here. Because only he can guarantee a safe landing when he catches us on the other side. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we love you, to say the least. And we worship you, and we put our weak hearts in your strong hands. Holy Spirit, empower us to die to the fear of death by resting in your everlasting arms. Lord Jesus, the living one, we praise you and thank you for so great a safe landing. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.